You're listening to Sunday Extra on RN. Now, 30 years ago, across the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania, people held hands. It might not seem that much of a big deal, but the context is everything. It was 1989. They were living under Soviet rule. The Berlin Wall still seemed impregnable. But through an underground resistance organization, ordinary people formed up a human chain of hands that stretched uninterrupted almost 700 kilometers from one end of the Baltic states to the other. An almost perfect gesture of peaceful solidarity and dissent. It remains an inspiration. Pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong are using the idea of the human chain even now. Well, Alan Mueller took part in it. He was 19 years old at the time, and he now lives in Australia, in Sydney. Alan, welcome to RN.
Thank you, Hugh.
Now, why did you take part in this Baltic chain?
I guess, as an Estonian, for us, the independence was always a very important part of our identity, and we were occupied by Soviet Union or by Russia for about 40 years before the event. And after Gorbachev came in power from 1988 onwards, the country really opened up, and the symbols of independence like blue, black and white flag were becoming far more visible, where 5 years earlier you probably would have gone to jail for that. And as it happened in August of 1989, it was the 50th anniversary of Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, which was basically a pact done between Soviet Russia and Nazi Germany to cut up the Eastern Europe like a cake. And week after that, the Second World War started when Nazi Germany attacked Poland.
So in 1989, there was some opening up under Mikhail Gorbachev in Moscow, as you say. But in organizing this chain of hands that ran 700 kilometers, how free were you to talk openly about it? How did you hear about it?
Well, you wouldn't really read in the newspapers about it. Most of the channels of communication were still protected by Communist Party, but it was mostly word of mouth, although it was reported later after it happened in the newspapers somewhat, definitely in Estonian newspapers. I'm pretty sure Russians would have not mentioned anything, because for them that was considered as a traitors who are for us to do it.
But, so what was your feeling as you were doing it? Did you feel at all apprehensive?
Maybe not so much, mainly because the winds of change were already starting to blow, and also because there were so many of us. They were saying up to 2 million people perhaps in three states were there, so that the numbers were so large that they didn't have enough KGB agents to spy on everybody. So it was exciting time to take part of it. But to be honest with you, at the time when it happened, we kind of thought it was like fun thing to do or interesting thing to do, but it did not feel like we were necessarily changing a history. It's like one of many things which happened in those years.
So another technique that Estonians carried out was what was called the singing revolution. What was that about?
So Estonians are big choir singers. They have one of the world's largest choir festivals every year, which actually happened last month in Tallinn. People love singing, and I lived in Tallinn at the time in high school in 1988 during the summertime. There was an old town festival, and a number of people, about maybe 5,000 to 10,000 on the first night, went into the Tallinn main singing area called Lauluväljak, where there's a big kind of dome, and they just started singing songs. I was one of them. And that was the first night, was maybe 5,000 to 10,000 people. Second night, maybe doubled, and then it doubled again. And by the four nights later, there was about 100,000 people, and it was a huge deal at the time.
And so that was a political statement as well as merely singing.
It was, and there was flags came out and were flying, and it was I think in retrospect, that was probably the first time in 38 years, Estonian people actually felt that there might be a chance that we might become independent again.
What was your reaction when the Berlin Wall fell? The news of that must have come through really just a few weeks later.
Well, it was a feeling of elation, and we were very pleased about that. And as a result, I think the Soviet Union, they were just basically going to collapse sooner rather than later, because in old days, what's happened in 1968 in Czech Republic, and they would have sent, and in Poland in 1980s, they would have probably sent in Russian troops, but they weren't in a position to do that anymore. And as a result, once it happened in Germany, it was pretty exciting. I think soon afterwards, Romania, Ceausescu got rolled as well.
Do you feel any fear now for the Baltic states with Putin still at your door and with Russian nationalism running very strongly?
Oh, definitely. I just came back from Estonia, and people, especially I think the Trump has not helped at all, because he has basically undermined the NATO and Estonia, and Estonia's member of NATO, and they're trying to do the best they can, but I think there is always a danger. Russians believe that their country should be back in the shape of what Peter the Great built, so that includes all the Baltic states, Finland, and other areas of Europe, which was the Russian Empire during Peter the Great's years. And I guess there is a danger, obviously, when you have a country of 1.4 million people next to one of the world's largest countries. So it's a worry, especially now with Putin and Trump being a friend of Putin as well, or not standing up to him as much as the other US presidents have done in the last 20 or so years.
Well, your Baltic chain from 30 years ago has inspired protesters in Hong Kong. What's your message to those people currently out on the street for week after week, protesting for their independence, to assert their independence from mainland China?
You just keep on going, because you just don't know what will happen. Let's say 35 years ago, I would have never imagined that that Soviet Union will open up, and you just don't know. Same thing might happen with China as well. The Communist Party might fall. I think this is the biggest problem for Chinese is that if they let Hong Kong people to get away with it, it might be contagious for the rest of the China. We just don't know.
Indeed, they're interesting times now as they were 30 years ago, and your memories of it bring back those momentous days as the Eastern Bloc progressively fell over during the course of 1989. Alan Mueller, so good to talk to you and to hear your stories today.
Thank you very much, Hugh.